Mark chapter 11. You can just remain seated. I'm going to read one verse and then just give you what I feel the Lord's laid upon our heart this evening. The Bible says in chapter 11 and verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Have faith in God. Lord, we sure do thank you again for the opportunity we have to gather this evening. Help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, I pray that you stir our hearts and our minds around the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you take it. Lord, speak to our hearts and just help us, Lord, just to be attentive to what you're saying to us this evening. We love you and we praise you and we thank you. Again, in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. I want to preach just a little bit, talk to you just a little bit about faith. There in verse 11, where he says, "Have faith in God." That word faith, it comes from a word pistis, which means a conviction of the truth of anything. Belief in the New Testament of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and the divine things. Generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. And then relating to God is the conviction that God exists and is the creator and the ruler of all things and the provider and bestower. And we know that we've heard about faith all of our lives down through the years, and many messages preached about faith, and we know that the Bible talks about the men in the Bible that had faith, and then we know that great chapter over in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to turn over there at this time, the Hall of Faith, where the Bible mentions many of those that had faith. So we want to look at several things about faith this evening. The nature of faith, first of all. What is faith? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 tells us what faith is. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So we know that what faith is, and here in Hebrews it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. We know that if we're not going to have no problem with the Bible, we're going to have faith. We're going to have to understand that in the beginning God, we're going to have to get a hold of that matter of what faith is and where faith comes from. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more we study the Word of God, the more we get in the Bible, and the more we hear preaching and teaching, I believe the stronger our faith gets and the more we believe. When we get to the point that we just have faith that God is who He said He was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you got a problem with that and you can't get a hold of the faith to believe that, you're going to have a problem with the rest of this Bible. And there's a lot of people's tried to discredit faith. So we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. I mean, the way we get saved, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." We didn't have no faith anyway. God gave that to us. So it's all of grace, but we get saved by believing the record that God gives us of salvation, how it's acquired through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and believing fact that Jesus loved us and that He died for it. So what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. The things that we look at and we believe that God can and God will do, and that things that God has done in the past. And so the nature of faith. What is faith? What does faith do? Faith acknowledges things unseen and acts as if they were visible. You think about some of the Old Testament believers in the very beginning there in Genesis chapter 6, and Hebrews chapter 11 records those heroes of faith. It talked about verse 5, said, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 said, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see Enoch, he had enough faith to walk with God. He walked with God for some 365 years, and as far as we know, he didn't even have a Bible. But he had a relationship. He had the faith to believe that God was leading him, that he had that relationship with God. And then we see here is what does faith do. Faith got Enoch to heaven. I mean, he was translated. He believed and had enough faith, I believe, and was walking with God till God, that one day, he just got so close to heaven, God said, hey, Enoch, it's closer to my house than it is to yours. You've been faithful. You've had faith to believe, to listen to me, and to walk with me. Said, just come on up to my house. But then we see another character here that's mentioned in verse 7. Said, Noah built an ark. There in verse 7, said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What kind of things was not seen as yet? There'd never been no rain upon the earth at that time. No doubt, Noah had never seen an ark. He'd never seen a big boat like God was telling him to build. And so we see that Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So we see that Noah, we know that he was a preacher of righteousness, and Noah walked with God and found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so Noah had that kind of faith that believed what God said. He had a faith enough to believe that if God said it was going to rain, then it was going to rain. And so him being warned and there moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. No doubt Noah's sons, they probably wondered, Daddy, what's happened? Have you lost your mind? Why are we out here? And for 120 years, Noah, a preacher of righteousness, he preached that judgment was coming. And he had enough faith to believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, even though he had never seen rain. The earth had been watered up by the dew of the ground all through those years. But Noah, the Bible said, moved with fear. I wonder if we really believe God and we believe God's word that judgment is coming one of these days. I wonder if we got to that point, if we would move with fear and prepare for the saving of our house. I mean, God has done provided salvation. He's done provided a way that we can get out of this world, and he's provided a way that our loved ones can. And I wonder if we have enough concern, and if we have enough faith to believe that God will save them if we get to that point in place, and we would trust him to do what we can't do. You know, the gentleman that I was talking with today was talking about his brother and others that he had tried to witness to. He said, I'm no preacher or anything. He said, but I always try to tell people and tell about Jesus and about getting saved. And he said, people ask me sometimes, said, are you a preacher? And I said, well, one of the best soul winners that I know of that wins people to God and got a burden for sinner, he's got enough faith to believe that if he'll witness, if he'll be obedient to God and be concerned enough for those people, he's got enough faith to believe that the Word of God will work. And it'll still work today. This crowd today, they don't seem like it will, but I'm going to tell you, God's Word is still powerful and it still will work. And we have the remedy for this nation's problems. And if we just had enough faith to get out here and do what God has called us to do and how He's placed us here to carry on His work, we could see a lot of souls saved, I believe, in 2017. I believe there's people out there that's wanting to get saved. I believe there's people that's concerned about their soul. And if we would just have enough faith to believe that God could use us, we're always afraid that we're going to say the wrong thing. Well, get in this Bible and study. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Get you enough Scripture where you run up on someone that the Lord is dealing with, that you can take the Scriptures and show them how to get saved. And believe that God will do it. Believe that God will do it. Our problem is a lack of faith. But we see what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. We see what faith does. Faith acknowledges things that are unseen and acts as if they were visible. Noah built an ark. Moses forsook Egypt. Jacob saw the blessing of the birthright there in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 31. When he told Esau, when Esau come in famishing, and he was hungry and he was about to faint, and he told Esau, he says, "Sell me this day thy birthright." He had enough faith to realize what that birthright was about. He seen the opportunity and he latched on to that opportunity. And so we see Jacob saw the blessing of the birthright by faith. Faith is believing that God can do the impossible. Faith is believing that God can do the impossible. A lot of times we believe that God can, we just don't believe He will. We see people that we think are just hard cases, that they're not going to come to Christ. We see obstacles in our lives sometimes, and we can't, through our own mind, and our own means, we can't see a way around that, but let me tell you, God likes to work when the impossible is before us. And we just don't have enough faith. I've seen a lot of old-timers and men of God down through the years, they had faith to believe. They believed that if they preached, God was going to save somebody. Hey, they believed if they had a need, that God was going to supply that need. They believed that if they had loved ones that was lost, that God would save them. And that wayward person that was out of the will of God, it looked like it's impossible to bring them back. If we look through our natural eye and our natural means of what we can do, a lot of times we're not going to see nothing done. But when we get to that point and place where we believe that God can do the impossible, then we're getting ready to know that He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to act or ask or think. We see the nature of faith. We see the object of faith. As the book of Mark says here, have faith in God. Have faith in God. It's been said means must be used, but means must not be the object of trust. Means are just ditches that we dig. God must fill them. Now let me say this about the object of faith. It ain't the faith that delivers. It ain't faith that does the impossible, but it's the God of our faith that we're placing our faith in, the object of faith. God is faithful. I'm glad that He's faithful in every area. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 said, "But God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear." I'm glad that God's able to, He's faithful to make a way of escape when temptations come. If we would just trust Him and look to Him instead of looking to ourselves to get out of and away from those temptations, if we just trust God, then He can deliver whatever it might be. It might be seem impossible to us, but I'm glad that God is faithful and He'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. But He'll make a way of escape. Psalms 89 verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips." I'm glad that God will do what He said He would do. He's always faithful in those areas that we fail in so many times. So we see God is faithful. We see His power is promised. We see that His power is promised. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27 says, "Is anything too hard for me?" I'm glad that there's nothing too hard for God. I'm glad that His power is always promised to us. And I'm glad that when we trust Christ as our Savior and we receive Christ in the free pardon of sin, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and He empowers us. That's why it's so important to have all known sin confessed out of our life, to be filled with the Spirit of God, that we might go out and speak the Word of God with boldness. You'll find every time that the disciples there in the book of Acts, when they were filled with the Spirit, and they went out and they spoke the Word of God boldly. We need that power in our lives to be able to feel to be able to speak and to witness to people and to do the things that God has called us to do. So we see His power is promised. The object of our faith is in one that cannot lie. I'm glad that God's all the promises that He's given us. Hey, He can't lie. He couldn't lie if He wanted to. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says it's impossible for God to lie. And He is the object of our faith. He's promised us these things. And we think things sometimes are too hard, but yet God can handle it, whatever the problem might be. Whatever our situation might turn into. Whatever how hard a sinner gets, I'm glad that God can touch them and He can melt their heart of stone. But one who cannot lie, and then one who cannot change. I'm glad that God's the same. He didn't do anything for those Old Testament patriarchs that He won't do for us today. Our problem is we just lack faith a lot of times to trust God to handle whatever might come our way. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not only is He one who cannot change and one that cannot lie, but let me say He's one who cannot fail. We fail a lot of times. I may fail you as your pastor. Your husband may fail you as your husband. Your wife may fail you as your wife. But I'm glad, hey, that Jesus will never fail. People try to handle things and they try to trust in themselves, and they fail many times. A lot of times we fail in service, but I'm going to tell you, if we're relying on Jesus, hey, Jesus never fails if we'll just trust Him. But we see not only the nature of faith, the object of faith, but then number three, we see the ground of faith. The ground of faith. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23 says, The Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Hey, I'm glad that the Word of God is true. I'm glad that the Word of God will stand. And I mentioned a while ago, Romans, I believe it is, 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's so important for us to get all we can get. The more you get from this Bible, the more you read, and every time you read through it, I promise you, you'll run up on something else. Then when somebody gets up and they begin to preach about a passage that you've read, and maybe you just read it today, maybe you'd read a certain verse today, and the man of God gets up and preaches on it, or somebody teaches on it, or someone that you come into contact with comes by and mentions something about something that you've read or something you've read before, and God has spoken to your heart, I promise you this Word of God will strengthen you, and you'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ if you'll read it, if you'll study it, if you'll let this Bible get in you. Psalms 119 and verse 140 says, Thy Word is very pure. Hey, I'm glad there's a lot of foul books in this country. There's a lot of wicked books. There's a lot of different things. But I'm glad that the Word of God is pure. Hey, there's nothing wrong with it. And I'm glad it'll do and it'll accomplish what God has designed it to do. When it's preached in power, I'm glad that the Word of God will go out and touch sinners' heart. That passage there in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hey, I'm glad the Word of God is pure. Not only the Word of God is pure, but the Word of God is sure. 1 Peter 1:19 says, For we have a more sure word of prophecy. I'm glad that the Word of God is sure, is pure this evening, and it'll accomplish and do what God designed it to do. It'll strengthen you. You fall in love with this book, and I promise you, there'll be strength, there'll be help for the journey, there'll be answers to every situation. A lot of people's trying to figure out everything for themselves. We got more information at our hands now. We can just take our phones and we can put stuff in. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like looking in the Word of God. Hey, digging out the nuggets that God has here for it. It'll tell you how to raise your children, Miss Casey. Hey, it'll help you in every situation, them little boys. It'll tell you how to train them up. The Bible says, train up a child, and when it's old, it'll not depart from it. I'm glad it'll teach us how to control our finances. It says to owe no man nothing. The reason we're in so much trouble is because we got these little credit cards and things, and we're presumptuously, we buy things and we get overloaded, and then we get in debt and we get in trouble. This world is in trouble today because they're not paying no attention to this Bible. It'll tell us how to raise our family. It's got the answer to every need that we have. The Word of God is pure. The Word of God is sure. Hey, the Word of God will tell us, if we'll read it and we'll study it, we won't be mixed up on doctrines. That's why we got so many different beliefs and so many doctrines today, is because people won't study the Word of God. I mean, it's pretty plain about the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't see how they explain away some of those passages, Ms. Tina, where it says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Him in the air." There's a group of people that says the Lord Jesus will never come to this earth. Now, He's coming in the sky first. There, the passage I just quoted, that's the catching away or the rapture of the church. That's when we're going out. But at the return of the Lord Jesus, when He comes back and we come back with Him, hey, it talks about over in Zechariah, Miss Sarah, hey, that He's going to put one foot on land and one on sea and declare that time's going to be no more. When He puts His foot on that Mount of Olives there, that thing's going to split. And He's coming back and He's putting His foot on this earth. The Word of God is pure. The Word of God is sure. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever." Why? Because it's settled. Psalms 119, 88 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." Hey, I'm glad the ground of our faith is grounded in this King James Bible this evening. I'm glad that we have a Bible that's been translated for the English-speaking people, I believe, of our day. And I believe we can understand this Bible. I used that word a while ago the Greek word pistis. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to understand no Greek, and you don't have to understand no Hebrew to understand your Bible. I believe God has given us and He's preserved His Word for us that we can understand it, and we're grounded in it. If we get in it and we get rooted and grounded in it, I mean, it'll give us the answer to every situation. It tells us how to run our churches. The reason our churches are a mess is because we're not following the book, the pattern that God has given us. The reason we got so many doctrines, it's all they pull out of different portions of Scripture, and they build doctrine upon some of those Jewish epistles. And some of the Gospels, we find doctrine in those epistles, but we don't build doctrine out of those epistles. We build doctrine out of the epistles of Paul. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. We find doctrine in the book of Acts. We find the call of the first deacons in the book of Acts. We also find tongue talking in the book of Acts. You got to rightly divide these things, or we get all messed up, we get all fouled up, and our faith gets weakened a lot of times because we're not trusting the Lord and His Word to guide us. We're not studying it. Then not only the ground of faith, the object of faith, the nature of faith, but we see the exercise of faith. Now this is where we need to get involved in exercising our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 said, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So we see, the Bible says in another place over there, said Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You know when Abraham got saved? Over there in the Genesis, when it says Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He had faith to believe what God told him to. He had faith to follow the leadership of God in his life. He heard the call when God called him to come out of the land of the earth, the Chaldees, that land of idolatry, and he had faith, and he finally come out at a later date. But then we find that on later on there, I forget what chapter it's in, but it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You know, that's where our righteousness comes from. We have faith in what God's told us about salvation, that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. And when we place our faith in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we put our trust in Him, and we receive Him as our Savior at that point in time, His righteousness is imputed unto us, given to us. We have no righteousness of our own. The Bible says our righteousness is filthy rag. A lot of people say, well, when I get to where I can live it, I'll get saved. Well, I got news for them. They'll never get to where they can live it. You got to believe God. When God works in your heart and the Holy Spirit convicts you and He draws you and He reveals to you that you're a lost, hell-deserving sinner, you take your place as a sinner and you receive Christ as your Savior. At that moment, just like Abraham, he believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. When we believe that Jesus died, was buried and resurrected again the third day, and we receive Him, from that moment on, the Holy Ghost comes in our heart, in our life. We receive the baptism of the Spirit. We're born again. And we're heaven bound with a hammer down. And that's where we get our righteousness. When God looks at us, all He sees is Jesus. He knows we're going to fail. He knew we was going to fail before we ever received Him as our Savior. But I'm going to tell you, He put something in us, then we're able to live for Him. We're able to respond rightly to the Word of God that's going to strengthen our faith, where we can exercise our faith to believe that God can. I believe God can send revival. Not just I hope we get a hold of this thing. When I say revival, I'm not talking about the series of meetings we're going to have next week. I'm talking about a revival, a bringing back to life. Boy, wouldn't it be good to see God really move into Open Door Baptist Church and see all of His people brought back to that place of life and refreshing, where we just desired to be with God all the time, for our relationship to be real, where we could exercise our faith and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The problem is, we're not diligently seeking Him a lot of times. We believe He can, we just don't believe He will in our day. We believe that He did for Abraham, for Moses, for the Old Testament saints, we just don't believe He'll do it for us. The exercise of faith. Abraham believed God. Caleb believed God over in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Numbers 13 and verse 30. We'll read one passage and then we'll move on. Numbers 13 and verse 30. This is a familiar story. When the children of Israel comes to Kadesh Barnea, Moses sends the spies over, and all the children of Israel, they're murmuring, they're afraid. They say in verse 28, said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land, the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Listen to this, what Caleb said. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So we see Caleb. He had the faith, and even though he'd seen the giants, and he'd seen what they were going to face, Caleb had faith that God would do what He said He would do, and out of those 12 men, there was two men that went in finally went into the land of Canaan, and that was Joshua and Caleb, because they believed God for what He said, and that bunch died out in the wilderness. The Bible said, without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The only way they was going to get to Canaan was by faith. The way they got out of Egypt was by faith. Egypt's the type of the world. The only way you're going to get out of the world is by faith and trusting Jesus Christ to deliver you. The Bible says over in Galatians, I believe it is, the first chapter, maybe verse 4 somewhere, said, who gave Himself that He might deliver us from this present evil world. So it's going to take faith, the exercise of faith. Peter believed God over in Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. The fishing looked hopeless. They'd told all night. But nevertheless, he let down the net. Peter believed Jesus when he said there, when he come out on the sea walking on the water, Peter believed Jesus when he said, come. You know the reason we're not doing no water walking tonight? Because we were not willing to get out of the boat. Peter gets a lot of criticism, but when he first got out, he got out by faith. And man, he was walking. And then he looked down and he seen the obstacle, the sea, the waves. And fear gripped his heart. So, and that's what happens to us a lot of times. We jump out by faith a lot of times, and then we let our faith get weak. We're afraid to exercise our faith. Some people are not doing nothing tonight because they lack faith. They say they have faith, but in reality, their faith is weak, and it's not being exercised in the object of our faith, which is God. I'm glad God can still do it in 2017. I'm looking for Him to do something around here. And then, let me say fifthly and lastly, I think. No, I got another one. The need of faith. As Mark says, have faith in God. God can't work because of our unbelief. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 said, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. The disciples had tried to cast the devil out of that little boy, and they couldn't. And they said, why couldn't we? Jesus had to come along and do it. He said, because of faith. He said, these cometh out only by fasting and praying. They hadn't fasted and they hadn't prayed. You know, we don't say a lot about fasting anymore. Fasting is God honoring. I don't believe we ought to make our faces long. If we're going to fast, we ought not tell nobody. Just fast. They call these church-wide fasts because they used to do that in the old time. I don't know that that's hardly biblical. I believe we could ask people to fast and don't say anything about it. You know, anoint your faces and look like you're not fasting. But, you know, God honors fasting, denying yourself and praying for a certain situation, a certain thing. Now, I may be wrong about that, and I'm not going to say that dogmatically, but the Bible says and tells us how to fast. And Jesus told the disciples, that these come only out by prayer and by fasting. Matthew 21 and verse 22 says, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Another place, Jesus said, if you ask anything in My name, it shall be done. So, God will hear our prayers. We've got to ask according to His will. And He said, if we'll ask it in His name, believing, if it's His will, then He said it'd be done. And then we see not only the need of faith, but we see, lastly, the result of faith. Mark chapter 9, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I wonder, do we really believe tonight that God can work in our midst here, that we can see sinners saved, hey, that we can see these pews filled, hey, that we can see the debt paid off at this church, hey, that we can see people getting saved on a regular basis. I watched this morning Brother Chapel and their vision night, and he preached. And it's unreal what God has done out yonder in the Mojave Desert in California. Started out with 24 people, and now they got a multi-million-dollar complex out there. They got West Coast Bible College. And just because someone, one or two people, had faith to believe that God could, he went out there and there was nothing there. But yet he felt like that it was the will of God for him to pastor that little church there. And it started from there. And 30 years later, there's thousands of people there at that church. It's unreal. People are getting saved all the time. They're always baptizing people. God is working. They're training other people. They're supporting missions. They're starting little satellite churches and different things. It's amazing what God has done. Just because someone believed and trusted God to do what He said He would do, and we see the results of their faith. God has built a work there. Man couldn't build that work, but God took man's availability and give him the ability, and we see a church there that's winning souls today. In our area, winning souls is a bad word. They think you're into easy believism. And I'm not no easy believism person. I believe the Holy Ghost has to work. But I believe we have to be yielded to the Holy Ghost. I believe we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. And if we'll go out and we'll sow the seed, if we believe this Bible, we got to believe that God's going to give us some fruit along the way. Now, every person you witness to might not get saved, but there'll be some. There'll be some. The problem is we don't have enough faith to sow. If you plant a garden, if you listen to the weathermen a lot of times that it's going to be dry and you don't sow the plant to prepare the ground and you don't sow the seed, you're not going to have no vegetables. If you don't sow, you're not going to have no fruit. So, if we're going to win people, we've got to sow the seed of the Word of God. Look for those divine encounters that God places before us. That's how you build a church. That's how you honor God. That's how you do what He's commissioned us to do, is being faithful and sowing the seed. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that gives the increase. We can't save nobody. All we can do is do what we're supposed to do, the result of faith. Elijah prayed and it rained not for 3.5 years. And the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, gives us the recording of that. It said Elisha was a man subject to like passions. What does that mean? It means he was just like, he was a man just like us. He put on his clothes just like we do. He may have wore a little bit different clothes, but he put them on the same way we do. He went to sleep the same way we do. He sat down and eat the same way we do. He was a man subject to like passions. Yet he had faith and he prayed, and the rains withheld the skies withheld the rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed, and it rained again. The Bible said Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God, and there was none like him. God's looking for people that are trusting. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 said, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a pretty sobering thought, ain't it? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And then Acts chapter 6 and verse 8 says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. The result of faith. If we don't never exercise faith, if we don't believe that God can and will, if we don't be obedient and realize the need that we have of faith, we'll never have no results. We might say we have faith, but we don't see no results. There's something wrong. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What are we hoping for here Open Door Baptist Church. We're hoping for God to move, aren't we? Hey, we're hoping to see souls saved. I mean, we can't see it right now, but if we look far enough and we exercise our faith and believe that God can every week, I believe He could every week if we just pray and be faithful. Lord, we sure do thank You for Your Word, Lord, that strengthens our faith and builds our faith. Lord, I pray that You'd help us as Your people to believe that You are a God that will honor faith. And Lord, if we can place our faith in You, Lord, we'll see great things happen this upcoming year. Lord, we love You. Thank You again for the opportunity we have to be here this evening. Lord, I pray that You go with us as we go our separate ways. Thank You for each one that's here. Thank You for these children, these babies. Lord, it's just a blessing to see little ones at the house of God. It's good to see middle-aged people at the house of God. It's good to see us older generation at the house of God. I pray that You'd increase our faith in this upcoming year. We'll see souls saved. Lord, we'll see You do great things here at Open Door Baptist Church. Lord, help us. Help us just to be committed in faith, Lord, trusting You in the upcoming year. In Jesus' name, amen.